This is the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, Episode 91, Types of Nursing Home Staff and Their Roles in Caring for Your Loved One.
The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith.
Hello out there and welcome to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And as this podcast goes to air, Will and I will be attending a conference that is hosted by the Consumer Voice, which is a nationwide advocacy group for the residents of skilled nursing facilities across the country.
In the same way that AARP is the nationwide advocacy group for people of a certain age, generally over 65 years of age, Consumer Voice is the advocacy group for all long-term care residents. So regardless of their age, they're the advocacy group for all of them.
So if everything goes according to plan, as this goes to air, Will and I will be walking around lovely Alexandria, Virginia, where the conference is being held, and we'll be going to different workshops, we'll be going to different presentations, and we are actually presenting
On arbitration clauses
and the admission packages of nursing homes. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to not only be presenters, but we're actually excited to hear and learn, about different issues with skilled nursing facilities and the residents of them.
Yeah, so. It's a great time, and we always get to. It's largely populated by ombudsmen from all over the nation.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to get different perspectives on what's going on in long-term care facilities across the country.
Yeah. So on today's episode, we always say to our clients and to people in general that if you want to, there's no way that you're going to be able to eliminate the risk of negligence or abuse in a nursing home. But one way that you can lessen its likelihood is to get on a first name basis, or at least understand the roles, titles, positions, and individuals that are providing care for your loved one. So that's why it's important to not only get on a first name basis with them, but kind of understand what they're doing. Like, what is their role when they get up and go and start their shift? What's their objective? And so the different people working in that nursing home have different things that they're responsible for doing. In today's episode, we're going to talk about that. So when you walk into that nursing home, there's going to be, we talked about this before in another episode, so it obviously bears repeating, but I always say, let's start at the bottom of the totem pole. But as Will has painfully pointed out multiple times, in actuality, the bottom of the totem pole is the most important person. So, we'll talk about, let's start at the top of the totem pole then.
Right. And just to clarify what he's talking about, in actual Native American customs, those who are at the bottom of the totem pole, whether they're gods or individuals, are the most revered. So, starting with who's at the bottom of the chain of command in a nursing home, so first and foremost, you have certified nursing aides. They're called various different names. They can be called patient care techs. They can be called aides. They can be called CNAs, certified nursing aides, medical assistants. They are the individuals that are assisting the resident with the activities of daily living, the vast majority of them. So they're the ones who start getting the residents up in the morning, start helping them put their clothes on, changing their diapers, their adult briefs, taking them to the restroom, brushing their teeth, brushing their hair, putting their makeup on, taking them to the shower. They're the ones who are making sure everybody is getting up and at it, right? And they're the ones who are passing out, usually, the food trays. They're the ones who are feeding the residents. They are the backbone of the nursing home. They are the ones who when you're short staffed, that's what you're talking about, is that you're short on CNA help. Because if you don't have enough CNAs, then you got to think about it. People aren't getting dressed. They're not getting out of bed. They're not being fed. So CNAs are the arms, the legs, of the different nursing home residents. And when I became a CNA 18, 17 years ago, it was a 2-week course. And the main part of the learning for us was were clinicals. We would go out on the floor and feed a resident, or we would change a resident. So it was a lot of on-the-job training. It is now much longer than a 2-week course. It can now take as long as 6 months, which is good, because even though there isn't a lot of medical knowledge required to be a CNA, I think that the length of time that I spent wasn't long enough to weed out people who probably didn't need to be a CNA. And they should go through a background check. You don't want people with a history of assault or drug problems taking care of residents. Now, above the CNA, because CNAs do not pass out medicine. They're not supposed to, right? That is supposed to be done by a nurse. And typically in Georgia, and I'm talking about my experience for 8 years in Georgia. Other states are slightly different. But typically in Georgia, the next person on the chain of command above the CNA is going to be the floor nurse. Now, a floor nurse, more often than not, is what is called an LPN, and that is a licensed practical nurse. It's a nurse who went to a vocational school and got a certification to be a nurse. So they didn't go, they're not an RN, in other words, but they do have a nursing license. They're the ones who are passing the medicine out. So if you can imagine, it's 6 o'clock in the morning at a nursing home, and you've got CNAs going from room to room, you know, putting Miss Johnson's dress on, you know, putting Mr. Johnson's shoes on, you know, brushing their hair, getting them up. And while all the CNAs are running around doing that, you've got a floor nurse who is at her medicine cart reviewing the day's medicine, or speaking with the previous nurse and speaking with the charge nurse about medicine-related issues. And the floor nurse spends the vast majority of their time going down that hall and passing out medicines. It takes a while. Because you got to understand, you're not just going down the hall and going, oh, here's your medicine, here's your medicine, here's your medicine, here's your medicine. Anytime that you're dealing with a nursing home resident, not only do they have the right to understand what's going on, but they're typically elder citizens. And so you can't just rush through something. So the floor nurse is going resident to resident, going, Miss Johnson, here's your medicine that you have to take in the morning before breakfast. Please go ahead and take it now. Or they'll put some, you know, put it in some pudding of some sort or applesauce. Sometimes the CNA will help them eat it. But they're going around doing that. So you've got the CNA that has really no medical technical knowledge, some basic stuff, that now has a certification. And above them, you've got the licensed practical nurse who has an 18-month certification that equals a license. So they have a license to be called a nurse, an LPN. There's other things they do as well. They change bandages. They can do some wound care. They can certainly do other things that they can do anything that an RN can do. And to be honest with you, they do it better. because they're the ones who are actually on the ground. You and I were talking about this the other day, and you were asking about the ranks in the military.
Oh my goodness.
So go ahead.
Let me explain this, and we won't have to digress too far, but like regress too far? Anyway. My contention, audience, is that it's not common knowledge that there are commissioned and non-commissioned officers in the United States military, particularly in the Marine Corps. So it's possible that somebody that has been in the, we'll say, Marines for a year or two is higher ranked than somebody that's been in for 25 years, only for the fact that one is a commissioned officer, entered as a commissioned officer, and one is a non-commissioned officer. I think my contention is that that's not common knowledge.
Anyway, so in the military, the major difference in the ranks is that you have enlisted, and enlisted includes NCOs, which are non-commissioned officers. Ignore the term NCO because it's way too confusing to civilians. But you have enlisted and you have officers. The major difference between those two, as a practical matter, is that nowadays, officers have gone to college. Officers, every single officer in the military right now, unless there's some exception of somebody getting a battlefield commission, which I'm not aware of, every officer has a college degree. Enlisted are not required to have that, right? So my point is, so in other words, you can be 22 years of age, you just got out of college and you got your first lieutenant commission, and you outrank a sergeant major who's been in for 20 years because you're an officer. That's why they call you sir.
I don't think that's fair.
Fair or not. That's it. So what my point was, though, in the nursing home, as you go up, people tend to have more and more education. So that CNA, like, for example, when I was in, I had a two-week course, right? So it would make sense that I was not going to be doing anything very technical. I wasn't going to be passing out medicine. I wasn't going to be diagnosing somebody. The LPN was the next person up, and they have a vocational degree. They have a vocational license. The next person above the LPN is a charge nurse. Oftentimes, charge nurses are RNs. And the difference between an RN and an LPN is education. You can get a two-year RN degree, but a lot of it depends on where you are. RNs a lot of times are a Bachelor of Nursing RN. So you're an RN, you went to 4 years of college, and now you're what is called a registered nurse. But charge nurses can, it depends on where you are. Charge nurses can be LPNs, charge nurses can be RNs. In my experience, the people who are in the trenches doing the work typically know the most about the resident. So if you have a question about your loved one in a nursing home, ask the CNA, ask that floor nurse, that LPN. Those are the people that you want to get to know. Those are the people that you want to become on the first name basis with and be friends with. Because they know what your mom does on a daily basis. Because they're the ones that are getting her up in the morning. They're the ones that are feeding her. They're the ones that are giving her her medicine. They're the ones out there that are actually the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the legs, the hands, the feet of the nursing home resident. They're doing everything for them. But you have, and the LPN and the CNA all have obligations to chart. So there's a chart for every single nursing home resident that, you know, indicates what their output is, what their input is, what their bowel movements are, how much food they ate, what percentage, What are their activities on a daily basis? When did they get a shower? You know, when were they changed? The CNAs and the LPNs are doing a lot of the hands-on charting for that. But above the floor nurse, and each floor is going to have one floor nurse, and they're in charge of going through and making sure everybody gets their medicine. But above that floor nurse, you'll have a charge nurse. And charge nurses, senior LPNs or RNs, and they're not so much tasked with individual patient care or resident care. And understand something, I occasionally call these, the residents of nursing homes, patients. They are residents, and we call them residents because that's where they live. We don't want to treat it like it's a hospital and they're patients. But they don't have as much one-on-one interaction with the residents. What their main job is overseeing the CNAs and the floor nurses. And a charge nurse is, depending on the size of the nursing home, a charge nurse is probably overlooking a couple of floors. We would have, in the last place that I worked, which had three halls, blue hall, green hall, and red hall. We would have one charge nurse for all of those. And her job is to respond to emergencies. Her job is to resolve any conflicts that, you know, may arise. For example, a floor nurse might be going through medicine and say, "Hey, Miss Johnson doesn't have any more of this medicine. Why is she out of it?" So she'll take it to the charge nurse, who will deal with it while the floor nurse continues to pass out medicine. They are on call. They may not typically be there at all times. It depends on the nursing home. You will always have CNAs there, right? CNAs are an absolute must. So at any given time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there are CNAs. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there are floor nurses, because you have to keep passing medicine out all the time. It's not necessarily that case with charge nurses. In my experience, 24/7, 7 days a week, the last place that I worked had a charge nurse. And they rotate through who's gonna do that. Above the charge nurse, you have the director of nursing, typically an RN. And typically the type of RN that has a college degree. So these are definitely getting into officers now. If this was the military, CNAs are privates and lance corporals. Floor nurses are, you know, they're starting to get into NCOs. They're corporals. Charge nurses could be sergeants or maybe warrant officers. And the DON, that's when you're starting to get into your officers. Go ahead.
This would be like me talking about, like, okay, so you have bounty hunters as a whole.
Yeah.
But then you have, you know, the guild of bounty hunters, which includes Boba Fett, Bosk, Dengar. But then you have the Mandalorians that are, you know, Boba Fett was a Mandalorian, but they're not bounty hunters. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is... What you did, the last 30 seconds of what you're saying just went over the head of everybody, unless they're in the military.
What's so amusing to me is that when you said that this is like you talking about bounty hunters, is I thought that you knew a lot about bounty hunters. I didn't know you were talking about Star Wars. like I was like, does he watch that show Dog the Bounty Hunter a lot? I didn't know that. I've known you for 10 years, and I didn't realize bounty hunters is something you're really interested in.
No. But Boba Fett gave that away. But anyway, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so the director of nursing is somebody that's there typically during work hours only. And she's the one that's coordinating all the care plans, all the nursing staff, all the CNAs, their schedules. She is somebody that you go to when you can't resolve something further down the line, well, closer down the line to the CNAs. And you can certainly go to her for anything, right? You can go to the person above her for anything. But if it's something like, hey, you know, mom doesn't like to wear this dress on Sundays, go to the CNAs. Go to the floor nurse. Let them know. It's just they're the ones that have the most immediate access to the resident. They're the ones that can put it in the notes and go, hey, Miss Johnson doesn't wear the pink dress on Sundays, right? And they're going to make sure that happens for you. The DON, for the most part, they don't have a lot of resident interaction. I've known some DONs that were much more interactive than others, but they're not, for the most part, they're not passing out meds and doing treatment. And the reason that I say for the most part is that, like in the military, sometimes you will have some amazing leaders who get their hands dirty with the troops. And my brother, who is an RN, and I were talking about this the other day, and we were talking about, you know, leadership qualities that we appreciated in the military. He was in the military as well. And ones that we appreciate in nursing, in the nursing environment. I have worked at places where when we were short-staffed, I had DONs going in and helping me change residents or doing certain treatments or passing out meds. It is absolutely amazing to have a DON like that. It's also a little scary that nursing homes can be so short-staffed that you actually have to have somebody that high on the chain of command go down to what a CNA does and help you change diapers. But it happens. But a DON is an administrative position, purely administrative. They're not, unless there's a problem, they're not getting out there in the trenches. Their job is to make sure all the paperwork and the charting is correct, to coordinate with Medicare and Medicaid, and to make sure that all the intake information is accurate. Now, typically speaking, above, that's the end. That's the end of the chain of command for nursing staff, right? So that's the last person there is the director of nursing. That isn't the last person in the ultimate chain of command, though. The next person up is actually going to be the administrator. That's the I would call him the company commander, right? The major or a colonel that's over the entire base. And they're the ones who are responsible for the day-to-day operations, including budgeting, including cost reports, including hiring and firing. And this is a person who you're going to meet. And some of them make themselves more available than others. But this is not the person that you need to go to when you have a problem. Just because they, to be honest with you, they may not immediately recognize the name of your resident. And that's not necessarily a bad on them. It depends on how many nursing home residents are there, right? So you got to think about it. The CNA, they're usually assigned to the same floors for a given period of time. They not only know who Miss Johnson is, they know everything about Miss Johnson. The floor nurse gives Miss Johnson her meds all the time, knows everything about her. Charge nurse knows Miss Johnson because she's constantly rotating around different floors. The DON knows her as well, but may not know all the intricacies about her. The administrator, she's in her office working on budgetary, you know, administrative stuff. It really depends on the nursing home too. But the main thing that I want to bring up here is that you really need to get to know the floor nurses, the ones that are passing out the medicine, and the CNAs. Now, there's a host of other job billets that branch off from nursing and administration. You have people that work in dietary. You have people who work in laundry. You have people who work in maintenance. You have people who work in the front office. And some of these people in the front office are the ones that do initial administration intakes. They're the ones who coordinate hair care, which can be a big deal. If you want to get your mom a perm, these are the people you talk to. You're going to be introduced to all of those people. And they're going to tell you, hey, when you want your mom's hair done, you go to Martha in the business office. So there's a bunch of different jobs, support jobs, outside of the main infantry unit of the nursing staff, right? But when it comes to the day-to-day care, it's CNAs.
That's right.
It's LPNs.
It's the stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And the director of nursing would be Grand Moff Tarkin.
Right.
And the administrator would be the emperor.
Now, I will say this, that it is my understanding, I've heard rumors, that the billet or the certification or license of LPN may be going away. I don't know. But whatever is going to replace it will end up being somebody who went to an 18-month course rather than 4 years of college and got a certification. So a DON is usually still going to be somebody that has 4 years.
Thank you, Will. That was very impressive, your knowledge of the chain of command of not only nursing homes, but of the United States military, and on my part, on the chain of command of the Galactic Empire. So that's going to actually conclude this episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. You can consume each and every episode, which drop on Mondays, online at nursinghomeabusepodcast.com or our YouTube channel, or you can check us out anywhere you get your podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, Podcast Puppies. And with that, we will see you next time.
See you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.